Thanks, everybody. Jake, Sex and Love Addict. It's interesting to speak to a meeting where 95% of the people have their cameras off. But you know what? When I go to meetings, a lot of times I leave my camera off. So makes sense. Thanks to Julia in absentia for asking me to speak and for her service to this meeting. I'm grateful for this program and all the other ones that I'm in. I've been sober in this program 9 years, and it's changed my life drastically and improved my life drastically. So I strongly suggest it to anyone who's new, and anyone who's not new, I suggest continuing. I'm 40 years old. I'm 16 years sober in AA, 14 years in Al-Anon and DA, and 9 years in this program. And then there's a couple other ones. I joined Recovering Couples Anonymous with my wife a year or two ago, and that's been really great. I came to this program because I was in severe pain. None of my other programs helped. I found the most experienced guy I could find in AA, and doing a relationship inventory with him did not help me. I talked to everybody I knew in Al-Anon, and it didn't help. Nothing could help. I was in and out of a relationship with a person who I would later understand wasn't available to be in a relationship. But what it looked like at the time was I got dumped by the same person 14 times in 10 months. I just kept going back to her and asking her to take me back. She'd take me back, and then she'd dump me again. And it made me want to kill myself. And I couldn't get away from it. No matter what I tried with all my other programs and praying and all of that, nothing helped. And I just kept going back and throwing myself into the wood chipper again. And finally, I started attending a program that I had heard about a few years prior, SLAA, and it worked. It stopped this cycle from continuing. In order to do that, I had to admit complete defeat. I had to admit that I'm not qualified to run my own romantic life, that I need to let God run it and not me. I had to admit that I was powerless and admit to my innermost self that I'm a sex and love addict. And so when I came to this program, I was desperate and I was ready to turn over the keys to the car. I'm not driving this car anymore. It's not my car. And so I found a sponsor who was pretty rigid in the way he worked his program. And that's what I needed at that time. I needed to know what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And I learned a ton from that guy. You know, he was only available on one day a week. And if I missed the time that I was supposed to call him, he wouldn't call me back until he was available again. And if I missed his call, I was screwed. He wouldn't answer me when I call him back. Why would he do that? Because he's a busy guy. He's a really busy guy with a full life. And he was living his full life. I found a sponsor who had what I wanted, and I did what he did to get what he got. And I have a very busy and full life today, thank God. Filled with things that I love to do. But this man taught me all sorts of things, not even through his words, just through his behaviors, about boundaries and availability and dignity and respect. And anyway, you know, coming into the program new, I got into withdrawal and set some very strict withdrawal bottom lines that removed all the different ways that I would get hits of validation from others. There were a couple weeks at the start of withdrawal where I wasn't allowed to initiate a conversation with a female. And this led to some interesting experiences. I was in my building and I got in the elevator to go do my laundry, and I got into the elevator with a woman, and we were riding the elevator down to the laundry room together. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to initiate a conversation. I'm just going to stand here holding my laundry. And what happened was we rode down the elevator together. We both went to the laundry room. I put all my laundry in the laundry machines and then went back upstairs. She never said a word to me. And it blew my mind. How could you be in a small space with somebody and not say hello? It's like we both live in the same building. I started to learn that other people were different from me. They didn't need to know everyone in their building or receive validation or a hello from the other people in their building. They could just exist without feeling like they needed to connect with others. So, you know, taking away these hits and these ways of getting comfort and validation taught me a ton about life and communication and relationships. So I was in withdrawal for a good long time with some strict bottom lines until I worked through my steps 4 and 5. And at that point, I started moving towards sober dating. And if you're new to this program and you haven't tried sober dating, one way to describe it would be it took all of the fun out of dating. However, it made dating like actually constructive and actually what dating is supposed to be, because all the stuff that I thought of as fun before was just stuff that gave me addict hits, like moving too quickly physically or sharing too much and trauma bonding or all these things that I used to do, and having a dating plan that told me, you're going to sit across from this person for coffee for an hour and a half max in a public place, and you aren't going to try to kiss, and you're not going to try to go anywhere, and you're just going to talk. And again, for me as a person with OCD, it was almost comforting. It was comforting, like withdrawal was comforting, dating plan was comforting, to know what I can do and what I can't do. It was good to know that, so I didn't have to ask myself all these crazy questions, because as a sex and love addict, I would run into somebody out in public, and then the whole rest of the day I'd be thinking, should I have gotten that person's number? Should I have talked to her? Was she the one? Did I miss out? Or I would ask somebody for their number, and then I'd be like, should I have asked that person for their number? Was it a mistake? Dating and other people's opinions of me and relationships were my higher power. And I made them my higher power. I made them my source of self-worth. And by going through withdrawal and by through, again, turning the keys over to God as to how I would date, I was taking step one and saying, I'm not qualified to do this myself. I believe that I spent however old I was when I came in, like 31, I guess. I spent 31 years trying to do it my way and it didn't work. So I'm going to try it somebody else's way. And sober dating was challenging and interesting. And the more you get into dating, the more you start to run into other things that trigger you. Like the more I got into dating, the more I found other things that would trigger me. Like, is this person going to text me back? And when should I text this person? When is the correct time to call this person? Did I say the right thing? And it ratcheted up the difficulty. It ratcheted up the difficulty from the withdrawal, where I knew what I was supposed to do, into this sort of more complicated, nuanced thing. And so I get to turn over even more to God and to my sponsor and let God in even more, grow in that regard. And after 4 years or so, I changed sponsors from the very rigid fellow to somebody who was a little bit more loose, wearing the program like a loose garment, you could say. And that was what I needed at that time. When I came in, I needed things very structured. Later on, it made more sense to have things be a little slightly more open-ended. And I dated for years, I guess. I don't know. What? I guess 4 or 5 years before I met the person who is currently my wife. And, but I liked it when I remember to do so. I like to really underscore that that is not the cash and prizes of this program. Meeting my wife is not the cash and prizes here. The cash and prizes was that during withdrawal, when I no longer was getting validation from outside sources, I learned to get my comfort and my sense of self-worth from my relationship with myself and my relationship with God. I developed a new relationship with myself, a new understanding of who I was, because up until that point, everything I did was to please other people. I thought I knew what everyone wanted from me, and I tried to do that. But that wasn't in line with who I was. I tried to be the coolest, hippest guy and have the coolest, hippest hobbies and be the smartest, funniest person in every room. And to some extent, I succeeded at those things. But I felt alone while I was doing that. My actual hobbies are quite nerdy and not hip and cool at all, but they're very, very fun for me, and that's what I like. So I got to learn that by going through withdrawal and developing that relationship with God and myself, what my hobbies are, not what I think everyone else wants me to have as a hobby. And I get to date people that I actually like, rather than the people that I think other people want me to date, right? I would date people just because I thought it would make me look good to other people, rather than actually dating people who I actually liked. So when I dated a few people over the years, got into a relationship of sorts that was brief, and eventually I met my wife, she who would become my wife, and I showed up as myself to that dating situation. I let her know what I wanted in a relationship, and I shared my authentic self with her, and she shared her authentic self with me, and we got to know each other and gathered information about each other through dating, because dating is nothing but gathering information. We gathered information about each other and discovered that we were a good match. You know, there's a lot of things in life that if you just look at them as you're discovering whether it's a match or not, it can be a lot less upsetting, whether I'm talking about a job situation or a dating situation that doesn't work out or a house hunting situation. You're just discovering whether something is a match or not. And the truth of the matter is better to experience than trying to force something to be what you want it to be longer than it is. 2 Aprils ago, my wife and I got married, and last August, our daughter was born, and we just celebrated her 1 year birthday party a couple weekends ago, and the yard was full of people that I've met through my hobbies, that I've met through connecting with other people, through combating my anorexia and forcing myself to talk to others and connect with others and take my medicine of living in tradition one and participating in the world. You know, our wedding was populated with people that I'd met in all these different hobbies and places, and combined our two worlds. I've got 20 seconds left on my clock over here, so I'm just gonna wrap up. The life I have today is a freaking dream. And that dream is very different than the dream I had when I came into this program. When I came in, I wanted to be the richest person in the world, the most famous person in the world, and to have every single person want to date me. And not only was that unrealistic, but that is a mess of a dream. Every day I wake up super grateful for the life that I'm currently living with this family. It is a huge effing blessing that I would not have with Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. So I encourage everyone to keep coming back, and thanks for letting me share.